Good morning, guys. We're going to talk about some of the rapid research that we conducted last year. With the drought going on, my phone was ringing off the hook. Just tons and tons of questions. Hey, should I apply ripener to short cane? Will the ripener work? Should I increase or reduce my rate? What's the best time of the day to apply it? Should I be putting a surfactant with it? Should I be putting ammonium sulfate with it? Should I use Motus? Just lots and lots of questions. So we tried to answer some of these questions with our first experiments. We went up to Cheneyville and worked with Michael Harper. We wanted to get a good look at 885 being a new variety, trying to get an idea of what the response would be on that variety. And if you watch the crop, the leaves are wide open, wide and laying out in the morning. And by the time we got to the 100-degree days, they were shriveled up and curled up. So in my mind, we were going to get better efficacy applying that product early in the morning versus late in the night. So later in the afternoon when we were starting to see these conditions. So we looked at a number of different treatments. We had our standard PowerMax treatment. We also had PowerMax plus a surfactant with a water conditioner, a high rate of PowerMax, and a half rate of PowerMax Motus. And then we did this with the drones. We applied it either early morning between 6:55 and 7:38, or between 1:10 and 1:50 that afternoon, were kind of our treatments. So let's talk about surfactants and water conditioners. Glyphosate doesn't have a whole, it's a loaded product, but when you really look at the amount of surfactants you have in that product, when we put it out at 5 ounces, there's not a whole lot. So a surfactant, what it's going to do is it's going to help that water droplet spread across that leaf area and you get better uptake. As far as a water conditioner, putting an ammonium sulfate type product, that's going to help if you have hard water problems. But if you don't have hard water, putting ammonium sulfate doesn't do anything. So what is hard water? We have some ions, calcium carbonates, some other cations like magnesium and iron that basically can bind or react with glyphosate, and it changes that molecular structure of glyphosate. And once you change that molecular structure, there are proteins that help glyphosate get into the plant where it needs to be. And I'm not talking about getting through the leaf, but getting through that cell membrane. So if you change that structure, it's like a puzzle piece, then it can't pass through that cellular membrane. So when you add some like ammonium sulfate to your water solution, that ammonium sulfate reacts with those cations with that calcium, so it makes a calcium sulfate, and that ammonia can bind to the glyphosate molecule, and ammonium glyphosate can pass through that cell membrane. So that's the only reason you would ever put it out. But this product interactive that Helena has is both a surfactant and a water conditioner for hard water. So we wanted to put that in the mix. The Motus label, if you look at where it's in red here, it says do not apply to stress cane from lack of water. I think we had that across the belt. So we really didn't know what kind of efficacy we were going to get with it. So, you know, this was a really good study. In a lot of ways. Now, if you look at that cane, this wasn't a picture of that field, but it was one that Lance Rodriguez sent me because he asked me if it was comparable to what we did. When we applied this on August 17th, they had 2.5 foot of hard joint. Cane looked rough, suffering from moisture. We went in and hand sampled like we'd normally do 13 days after application. And you can look at the data here, regardless of treatment, whether we applied it in the morning or the afternoon, or we increased the rate of glyphosate, the surfactants, statistically, the TRSs were all comparable and much better than the non-treated check. So at 13 days, we had about a 15% increase. So I was pretty excited to see that in that short amount of time. As you know, 885 gets lazy on us. They call it a thunder banger and actually call it 2 inches of rain on our plot on September 2nd. It went flat, and when we made our next sampling, I really questioned why I went to college to fight to get through this cane. It was a beast. And you know, I've heard several comments here about how tough it was to cut with the machine. Believe you me, it was tough to crawl through. 27 days, same trends that we saw at 14 days. The ripener looks like it's working amazingly well. So, man, 30% increase in TRS. I'm blown away. I'm talking to consultants. I'm going, man, this, we're going to have a great year. I don't think the drought's going to be that impactful on the efficacy of ripener. Grinding was delayed at Lasuka, so we wanted to harvest this at 35 days, but it pushed us back to 46 to October 2nd. And we went in for our last sampling, and still, I mean, when I look at these TRS numbers, they're unbelievable. I mean, I think anybody would take a 300 all day long at the, on your crop. But if you looked at the untreated check for the 885, you could see it progressively getting better, and it was really sweet at the early part of this crop. Now, again, this is drought stress cane. There's a lot going on that we don't understand hormonally. You know, hormones control, they're signaling molecules. They tell plants to respond in different ways, and we don't respond. Notice here in this red circle, if you ever looked at tissue culture, callus tissue, I've never seen this before with glyphosate, where you get this little clustering. So every plot, regardless of the treatment, if it had glyphosate, had this little clustering. And then you had the lalas above it, like you would normally see. But it was really kind of weird and funky. That was number one. The rest of the work we did was on the sugar research station. I know we heard a lot of climate talks yesterday, talk about rainfall. Thanks to Dr. Paul White, we have a weather station. We had a total of 39.2 inches. July looks like we got a good bit of rain, but I told Kenneth, we had 3.4 inches of rain on July 17th. And I said, man, that's our $1 million rain for the research station. And after that, we did not have a substantial rainfall. So if you look from August 22nd to October 12th, not enough rain to talk about. You know, the crop really showed it. So, you know, I'd say we had a pretty representative, not as bad as out west the cane was, but we definitely had some drought stress. So we're going to talk about a study I looked at, Amazamax, which is a potential new molecule. And you may say, Al, why are y'all looking at all these products? We got products that work. Well, this last night I found out, you know, we're talking about a federal judge making a ruling on the Slaber case. Well, a federal judge made a ruling on using Extendamax and Ingenia, and there's one more, maybe Tavium, saying that we can't put it over the top of Roundup Ready Extendamax soybeans or cotton anymore. So that just came out last night. So, you know, with glyphosate and its negative perception, we better have ACE in our pocket in case. So we looked at that. This is kind of in conjunction with the Florida industry. They brought it to me. We met at an ASSCT in Florida several years ago. They said, you've ever looked at this molecule? I said, I have not. So this is our second year looking at it. We looked at four different rates from 1 ounces all the way to 4 ounces. We included our standard Pyramax in there and an untreated check. And we sampled that cane for 6 weeks. The only rate that of the Amazamox, the Beyond Extra, that shows a little potential is maybe that 4 ounce rate. But it's a lot higher than BASF really wants to pursue. That 1 ounce rate, we could get a label pretty quick for, but if you look at the 1 ounce rate across that data table, you're really not getting any benefit from it compared to what we do. Tonnage from our trials this year, for the rest of them, were highly variable, and so was sugar per acre. So we don't see a whole lot of significance in most of the studies that we're gonna look at from this point on. I attribute it to the drought. I may be wrong or right. You know, cane yield is one of those highly variable things. But in this study, the Pyramax actually had higher tonnage than the untreated checks. Our second study we did with Amazamox was actually to look at the surfactant. So this is not a loaded product like glyphosate is. And one of the agronomists from BASF said, Al, what kind of surfactant do you use with that? When you did your research, I said, a non-ionic surfactant. He said, oh, we see a lot better uptake if we use a crop oil or methylated seed oil. So that's what we wanted to look at. Was there a difference between the two? So we used two different surfactants. We used the Induce and Agridex was our crop oil with the 1 ounce rate. And again, when you look at sucrose increase compared to the check, the 1 ounce rate, regardless of what surfactant we did of imazamox, is not enough to pull up that sucrose level. And you look at Pyramax, it's doing what it's supposed to. You know, it's consistent tonnage again, not significant in this study, and sugar per acre not significant. Variety response. You know, Dr. Kenneth does a lot for this industry, and he takes care of me. He's always got that vision looking forward, what's coming down the pipeline. So he always plants a little extra cane, and he's kind enough to let me do some first looks on how varieties are going to respond. So we looked at 306, 508, and 738, which is eligible for lease this year. So, you know, small plot work, only three reps, but again, I think some valuable data. This is 31 days after treatment we sampled this cane. The 306 looked like it responded well to that half rate of glyphosate and 11 ounces of Motus. The Pyramax really didn't, we didn't see a big response, and that was kind of makes me scratch my head on those results, to be quite frank with you. But, you know, that's what the data showed in this situation. 508, one of the varieties that I think we're pretty excited about, responded fairly well to both the Pyramax or the half rate of Pyramax plus Motus. So looks like it's going to do okay. Again, cane tonnage and sugar per acre, not really statistically different amongst the treatments. 738, have to say, this was the prettiest cane on the station. It was planted on ice cream. I don't know what date Kenneth planted it on, but it was just a beast. And it responded really well to both the glyphosate and the Motus treatments when you look at TRS above the control. Now, the tonnages, this was just two rows that Kenneth had increased. You had sunlight on both sides of it. So I think that kind of artificially definitely inflated the cane yields number. But this it was just tall and straight and beautiful when we did this. And, you know, 63 tons in the untreated was just darn impressive. Let's move on to generic Trinexapac ethyl. Trinexapac ethyl was the active ingredient in Motus. One of the knocks on Motus is the cost. I personally bought a jug of Motus last year at the co-op. 11 ounces of Motus cost me $27 an acre. That's a pretty expensive lick compared to glyphosate. Atticus, the chemical company that brought us the first S-metolachlor molecule, actually manufactures this Mazada. And I want to thank Blaine Vietard for helping me get my hands on it earlier than I think they were ready to. So, you know, as a generic, we just want to see if they compare apples to apples. So we did a little work on the research station in St. Gabriel. The AI is just a hair more than the Motus, so we adjusted our rates to put out the same amount of active ingredient per acre. So 2.5 ounces of Pyramax with either Mazada, 10.9 ounces of Mazada or 11 ounces of Motus. Then we all had our standard 5 ounces of Pyramax and an untreated check in this situation. Statistically, the Mazada and the Motus shook out the same, even though you see a 10-pound difference with them. We're going to evaluate this product some more. This is a first look at it. We'd like to get some more data. I'm not sure if the product's going to be available or not, but you know, we want to look at the efficacy and have another option for it, because I think it has a fit in our industry. May not fit on every acre, but I worked up some data for Blaine Vietard looking at every experiment that I had with this half rate of glyphosate and Motus, and compared it to glyphosate. And we were about 2 pounds of sugar per ton difference at the end of the day with the several research trials that we've done so far. So again, looking at tonnage and sugar per acre, not statistically different. You know, you see some trends to be higher where you have the glyphosate treatments. Wrapping it up here, let's talk about just some summary data that I've done, some metadata. So I pulled data from 2011 all the way to 2023, 1299, and you see the application date. And what I really tried to kind of hone in is that 28 to 35 day range. And I just wanted to see what the average response was with glyphosate versus the check. And, you know, 22.7% is the average of these trials. So if we compare 2023 in this dry year, it wasn't nearly as responsive as to the previous year. It's not nearly as responsive to the average, but we did get some benefit without a doubt from using this. My last slide, data slide, I also pulled every variety that we've worked on. So some of this is Dr. Ben Lejeune's work before I was doing the ripener work from 2001 to 2023. So, you know that's over 20 years of data, 159 data points, anywhere from, or 159 trials, anywhere from on August 14th to September 17th application. So we are on the front end of the application window. And I was talking with Lewis earlier, you always get your biggest response with glyphosate in immature cane. As cane naturally matures, that response, that percentage decreases. So we always try to be on the front end where we're gonna get our most bang for our buck. The treatment harvest interval from 25 to 59 days. And look, we've looked at a number of different glyphosate products over time and compared them, and they're in this data set. When we look at our 159 observations for pounds for TRS, you know, we're in that 40-pound increase range over all of these trials, 20%, 20.4%. It's a pretty good data set. Tonnage, we lost about 3 tons, and we only have 41 data points because not all our trials, when we sample, we take to yield. Some of them are just looking at TRS. Some of them we take all the way. The big point is sugar per acre. You know, 11.9% increase, 1,000 pounds more with glyphosate versus without. So my big point is, you know, this industry is expanding. I think Dr. Kenneth said we had 532,000 acres this year. We had a 17 million ton crop year before last, and the freeze really kind of put the damper on it. I think this is going to be an even more important tool as we continue. And regardless of weather pattern in 1 year, I think it's a great investment for our industry. It works, and especially with the increased cost of trucking cane, you know, fewer tons, higher sugar per ton, higher sugar per acre, I think it's a win-win for the industry. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. No, I couldn't pick up any. The data was so variable. I just really didn't. If you go to the northern part of the belt where they experienced drought, they were off quite a bit. I talked to some growers in the western part that were 40% below. I talked to some growers in the southern part of the belt that this was their best crop ever. So it was so highly variable throughout the belt. They still sprayed ripener, but the one test I did there, we didn't take it to yield.